Bring the court to order, please. Is there anyone that would like to volunteer to say the prayer this morning to get our court started? Any volunteers? Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Father, thank you for the privilege that is ours to live in the country that is free. Father, today as we come together, I pray that your hand would be upon this court. Thank you for the leaders that lead this county. Thank you for the decisions that they make, striving to make the best decision for all of us. Today, Lord, I pray that your hand would be upon everything that is said and done here. Father, thank you for the privilege it is to live in the United States. Amen.
Amen.
So join me in our pledges to the United States and Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Along with the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Okay. The record reflects that all members of the court are present this morning. Commissioners, we would entertain a motion to approve our Commissioners' Court agenda this morning.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Under proclamations and resolutions, we have Montgomery County Adoption Day. Steve, good morning. Congratulations. Brand new attorney.
Thank you, Judge. So the proclamation for the Montgomery County Adoption Day. Whereas children are key to the state's future success, prosperity, and quality of life, and whereas all children and teens deserve a safe, loving family, yet there are 89 children and teens in Montgomery County who are waiting to be adopted. And whereas adoption creates supportive, loving families for children and teens, and whereas supportive families can help a child or teen overcome past traumatic experiences and reach their full potential. And whereas we must come together as a community to celebrate adoptive families and raise awareness about the number of children and teens who are still waiting. And whereas there are no restrictions on who can adopt based on race, ethnicity, religion, sexual orientation or expression, gender identity or marital status. And whereas there is always a need for parents who are willing to adopt siblings, older youth, and young people with complex medical and behavioral needs. And whereas there are numerous individuals, nonprofit organizations, and public servants who are dedicated to finding families for children and teens in foster care who are waiting to be adopted. And therefore, be it proclaimed, the Commissioner's Court of Montgomery County do hereby proclaim November 15th, 2017, Montgomery County Adoption Day in Montgomery County.
Move.
Second.
Your comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, the proclamation for Montgomery County Adoption Month. Whereas children are the key to state's future success, prosperity, and quality of life, and whereas all children and teens deserve a safe, loving family, yet there are 6,999 children and teens in Montgomery County who are waiting to be adopted, and whereas adoption creates supportive, loving families for children and teens, and whereas supportive families can help a child or teen overcome past traumatic experiences and reach their full potential, and whereas we must come together as a community to celebrate adoptive families and raise awareness about the number of children and teens who are still waiting, and whereas there are no restrictions on who can adopt based on race, ethnicity, religion, sexual orientation or expression, gender identity or marital status, and whereas there is always a need for parents who are willing to adopt siblings, older youth, and young people with complex medical and behavioral needs, and whereas there are numerous individuals, nonprofit organizations, and public servants who are dedicated to finding families for children and teens in foster care who are waiting to be adopted, and therefore be it proclaimed, the Commissioner's Court of Montgomery County do hereby proclaim Texas Adoption Month in the state of Texas and request that all Texas counties select the date within November as their county's adoption day.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? I know tomorrow there's a lot of adoptions that will occur. Do we know how many?
I believe there are 27
adoptions tomorrow. It's quite an event. Every year we have, it's an impressive event. So thank you for all your
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Stephen. Okay, presentation plaque for employees of the month for November and December. Katie.
Hi, good morning, Judge and Commissioners. My name is Katie. I'm the recognition coordinator for the Employees Committee. Today, we're going to be doing November and December. For November, if I could have Ms. Brittany from JP3 come up, please. They also get a plaque with a Benihana's gift certificate.
Congratulations.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Good morning.
This person is very thoughtful, attentive, and considerate of others. On numerous occasions, she has submitted and implemented ideas that have increased office efficiency. When our office is short-staffed, she steps in and helps modify breaks and lunches so that the office continuity and efficiency are not affected. Going the extra mile is just a way of life for her. Her coworkers can count on her support, assistance, and cooperation. Whether activities are doing or after work hours, she would do whatever it takes to bring ideas to fruition. Judge Conley had court today, so therefore she sent the next best thing. and so on behalf of the JP3 staff, on behalf of Judge Conley and myself, we would like to recognize Judy Lasea as our Employee of the Month.
Hey.
She thought she was coming here for something else today, but she
Congratulations.
And for December, if I could have Ms. Jerry Williams come up, please.
So successful in surprising Jean. Jean is a part-time employee who makes a big difference. He was recognized and nominated by his supervisor, Ruby Chandler. So, Ruby, if you'd stand up. And here's part of what she wrote. Jean works as a shelver in the children's department at Central Library. He's been there for 5 years. Even though he's a part-time employee, he is very punctual. He is very conscientious about his attendance. Because if you ever want to think about shelving, it's like putting the dishes away. Nobody likes to clean out the dishwasher or out the sink and put the dishes away. But someone has to do that in order for there to be supplies for the next time around. And Jean is the person in the children's department at Central. Ruby noted that during the summer months of July, he shelved nearly 12,000 items in that month, and it only decreased slightly in September to 9,957 items for the month. So he's been busy. He is agile. He gets down on the floor. He inspects the books. He makes sure that they are in order so that individuals who come in can find them. The other thing that Jean does is that he looks at items if they are worn or they need mending. He pulls those items and they go back to our technical services for a bit of cleaning and repair, and then we can circulate them a little longer, which saves money and extends the life of those materials. I could go on and on, but Jean is a wonderful employee. He's dedicated, and we really appreciate you, Jean, for all that you do. Jean's wife, Sue, is here with him. We just had to tell him, you know, Jean, we're going to need you at court. and here's the reason why. And the first thing he said was, I didn't know a part-time employee could qualify for that. And I said, you know, it's employee. It doesn't say full-time employee. It doesn't say the person who's been there the longest. It's the quality of the work. And we congratulate you, Gene.
Thank you very much.
Oh, and here's your plaque. And maybe a little something that you and Sue can celebrate with.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Sue, would you? Nope. She's shy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry Lynn.
Thank you, Jerry. Judge, before we move on, if I could, I'd like to acknowledge folks from yesterday who participated in the preparing the chili that we served for United Way. I want to thank everybody who helped prepare the meal yesterday and the desserts. And for everybody who came out and donated and ate lunch with us, we were able to raise $615 yesterday for United Way. So I want to give everybody a big hand for doing that. Thank you.
Just real quickly, thank you for the prayer this morning. I think the Salvation Army has an event coming up, too. You want to just mention that real quick?
Good morning, Nathan Arizotti on behalf of the Friends of Conroe. What I want to do is two things. One is I want to introduce the commissioners, judge, and everybody here, the new major, Major Don and Helene Wildish of the Salvation Army. And a lot of people know that for years and years the tradition was for the Salvation Army to feed those in need. And for a couple of years that hadn't happened. Well, it's back. It's back and it's bigger and better than ever. And it's the Salvation Army's event, but the Friends of Conroe is very happy and proud that we can saddle up alongside of them and help support this with cooking, the logistics, and different things of that nature. So it'll be Thanksgiving Day. It'll be from 10:30 to 2 here at the Salvation Army at 301 Avenue E. And we're looking for y'all's help and all leadership in Montgomery County to get the word out. It's not that we need donations so much. It's not that we need food so much. We need to find the people that are hurting and hungry. And this year, more than ever, people who never found themselves in need are hungry and hurting. And they're not just hungry in the belly. They're hungry in their heart and in their soul. And so that's what we want to start this year. And I'll let Major kind of tell you a little bit more about that.
Judge, commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. And the Salvation Army comes here to ask for your support in helping us make this a public awareness of the Thanksgiving dinner that's taking place in Montgomery County. We face a challenge this year that possibly Montgomery County has not faced in a long time. And we have a lot of people in our county that are suffering from the hurricane and the results of that. And many of the money that they would use to invest that into a Thanksgiving dinner and a family get-together, they're going to be spending that on drywall and helping to put their house back together again. And their Thanksgiving dinner is probably not what it would have been last year. Salvation Army wants to put together a dinner that is going to celebrate individuals here in this community and be able to come together and celebrate one of the great holidays of America and be able to celebrate that. We would just ask for your support as we move about in this county to help us promote that.
Thank you, Major. We appreciate that.
So thank you.
Thank you for what you're doing.
Let you know that we're going to be set up to 2,500 meals, and we're going to be set up with one location for to-go. So from all parts of the county, each commissioner, anybody in your area, if you have people in need, an organization that can get together somebody to come pick up 50 meals, 100 meals, we'll take care of that for you. If somebody's in need, not individual households, but organizations, we'll have drivers that can deliver if need be as well.
Great. Thank you for
thank
that.
You very
I appreciate
much.
It.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank you. All right. Commissioners, under the county clerk, we need a motion to approve the minutes from our regular session dated October 24th.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. Under consent, commissioners, I only have one item that needs to be moved to the open agenda on page 9, item 9R1. Move to the open agenda. Unless there are other changes, would entertain a motion.
Yes.
I'm sorry?
What item is that?
That's item 9R1 on page 9, juvenile probation.
Okay. We have interlocal with the city on a consent, and I think we've got some members here from the Veterans Park.
You want to move that to the open?
Yeah, we can.
What item is that one, Commissioner?
I don't know. I'd have to find it. It's under...
L1A on page 7.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. L1A on page 7 and 9R1 on page 9 are the only two that I have to be brought forward. If there's others, Commissioners?
No, I'm good. I move with those changes.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. L1A, page 7. Commissioner?
Trying to find it.
Very bottom of page 7.
Okay. As most of you know, Veterans Park, we had an amazing decommissioning ceremony of the existing Veterans Park Sunday afternoon. Just, I wish everybody could have been there. It was uplifting. It was emotional. It was everything that it should have been. So now we're in the process of setting up a new location, and part of that is going to be some city streets put in to access the park, which is what we don't have now. So first step is doing interlocal with the city and the county to make that happen. And I had it on the consent agenda, but since you guys showed up, would y'all like to say anything or just here to support the interlocal or... Well, thank y'all for being here this morning. Approving a local agreement for road construction improvements between Montgomery County and City of Conroe to improve access for parking for the proposed Veterans Park.
I think Judy might want to say something.
I just wanted to thank you all, Commissioners and Judge, for all your support for this. You've given us already. I think this is a wonderful thing for our county. Besides just being honoring our veterans, the ones that have sacrificed, the ones that have served and are currently serving, being an information and resource center that we intend to be, and be a place of unity for our entire county, and to be right here in Conroe, and to be a destination for children, adults, anybody come nationwide. So I'm just very passionate about this, and I just want to say how much I appreciate all of your support that you have given us.
Well, we couldn't do it without the board and your help. Thank you for all you do. Yeah, it's something that's been needing to be done, and it was always kind of hard to bring it up. When you decommission one and move it, that's quite an event. So, but we will move the other one with the respect that it deserves. We will absolutely take care of that. And the new one is something I think we're all going to be very, very proud of. So I move.
Second.
Questions or comments? That was quite an event the other night, Commissioner, that decommissioning ceremony. Very, very well done. Look forward to having that new park at the new location. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, item 9R1 on page 9. Commissioners, just a little bit of a wording change. The line says, please allocate the funds to budget line item 5711-7498 should be changed to 5711.74971 special projects and donations. That's the only change.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. That concludes the agenda. Moving on to our open agenda, we'll have citizens' comment that will allow citizens' comment at the time of the agenda item that they've asked to address. I'll read a brief comment right now. Citizens will be invited to make a public address to our court on any items on today's agenda. Please state your name and topics of your comments before you begin your remarks, and public comments may not exceed 3 minutes. It is not the intention of Montgomery County Commissioners Court to provide a public forum for the demeaning of any individual or group. Neither is it the intention of the court to allow members of the public to insult the honesty or integrity of the court as a body or members of the court individually. Accordingly, profane, insulting, threatening, or threatening language directed to the court or members of this court will not be tolerated. If this occurs, it may result in the cancellation of the speaker's remaining time and or removal from the commissioner's courtroom. I would also remind you that we can't address a lot of public comment at the time. We may direct you to different elected officials or department heads for questions. So, with that, I have a few people that are signed up on items in the agenda. We'll recognize you as those agenda items come up. Item 11A, consider, discuss, and appoint representative to the Houston-Galveston Area Council, General Assembly, and delegate to Board of Directors for the year of 2018. Commissioner Riley, would you like to continue as our representative at HGAC?
I'll certainly let somebody else do it if they want to.
I move on Charter Riley.
I figured that would happen.
Motion in a second, and no further comment from Commissioner Riley. Any other thoughts or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Okay, consider, discuss, and appoint a representative of the Houston-Galveston Area Council General Assembly as an alternate to the Board of Directors for 2018.
I'll volunteer to be the alternate this time.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item C, consider, discuss, and appoint two alternates to the Houston-Galveston Area Council General Assembly. Actually, Commissioner, we have the Board of Directors, General Assembly.
He would be the alternate if I couldn't make it.
If he couldn't make it.
I can't make it.
And two alternates to the Area Council General Assembly.
Isn't that usually the engineer's office?
Usually Mark Mooney.
Yeah, I'm with him.
Second.
Favor.
Aye.
Any opposed? Mark's not here to argue, so he's in. All right, item D.
We need to have two, it says.
We
do want to have Mark and Dan Wilds?
Yeah.
We have a motion for Dan as well.
Jeff's been doing that.
Okay, Jeff.
That'd be great.
He's on the TPC, so that would probably be good.
Yeah. Okay.
So is your motion
Jeff
for Jeff Johnson?
Johnson, it is.
Okay.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. So Mark and Jeff will be our alternate. All right, we have some individuals who have signed up to speak on item D, Montgomery County Appraisal District candidate appointments. First is Ginger Russell.
Hi, I'm Ginger Russell from Precinct 2, and I didn't write out anything. I'm just recommending Peggy Hausman and Eric Yolick for the Appraisal District, and I don't think any commissioners need to be on the board of the Make MCAD. They are accountable to the commissioners, so I don't think that's transparent enough for the taxpayers. So I recommend Eric Yolick once again and Peggy Hausman.
Next person signed up to speak is Kelly Cook.
Hello, my name is Kelly Cook, and I reside in Precinct 1. The Montgomery County Appraisal District needs to have a taxpayer advocate on the board. I'm asking you to vote for Gregory Parker and Eric Yolick to be seated on the board. I believe we need representation by someone that is aware of the predatory nature of the skyrocketing appraisals for some, while others, which are members of the political class, enjoy substantially lower appraisals, allowing them to keep more of their money. The majority of taxpayers being targeted to support the bloated county budget are feeling the burden of the ever-increasing tax bill. Our high property taxes are forcing some, especially those that are retired on fixed incomes, out of their homes. While this court did work to lower the tax rate by a full penny and offer the protection of the homestead exemption, the Montgomery County Appraisal District has kept on doing what they do best, collecting more revenue. We can do better. I do want to thank Commissioner Charlie Riley and the City of Montgomery for the recommendations of Eric Yolick and Gregory Parker. Thank you.
Next, we have Sherry Shorten.
Good My name is Sherry Shorten. I'm from Precinct 4. I'm also here to speak about the candidates for MCAD. My husband asked that I read a letter that has been supplied with supporting documentation to each of the commissioner, every member of the court here today. Before I begin, in full disclosure, my husband asked that we make everyone aware of the fact that we are ex-felons. We're felons. We have been referred to trash by one particular member of this court, that we are members of the school bus family, but in the last 5 years, we have put our lives back together. We are completed everything, and we are voting active members in Montgomery County. My husband, with that said, my husband said he would like to address the fact that Eric Yolick was nominated in the first place. He questions Mr. Yolick's ethics as he was convicted by a jury of his peers of civil fraud with malice and intent to cause harm to others in Harris County cause number 2010-41034. This resulted in the collapse of the First National Bank of Edinburgh, Texas, causing harm to taxpayers, investors in the bank, and the bank depositors and shareholders. Then even after being convicted, Mr. Yolick spent 4.5 years appealing the matter all the way to the Texas Supreme Court to attempt to avoid paying any of the damages awarded by the jury. Second point, I question Mr. Eric Yolick's morality, because as an attorney, he has the right to pick and choose his clients. However, he chooses to represent clients such as Rizik Sakur, an ex-Conroe pill mill doctor, in attempts to return previously seized business assets to the ex-doctor, who is also actively seeking to be reinstated as a licensed medical doctor in 3 different states, including Texas. Mr. Yolick's willingness to assist criminals to undo the hard work that our law enforcement has spent countless man hours on is just anti-taxpayer. I question Mr. Yolick's intent to bring reform or change to any level of government since Mr. Yolick assisted with and defended the Woodlands Rudd Renovoter scam intended to stretch the Texas election code to its extremities instead of providing sound policy recommendations to state lawmakers and lobbying the legislature to correct any deficiencies in the current laws. As an attorney, Mr. Yolick should have enough knowledge and respect for the law to suggest changes that are permanent fixes to loopholes and introduce those changes in the appropriate places. But instead, Mr. Yolick incites extreme actions resulting in more government policy changes to stop those extreme actions while the original problem remains unchecked. In the interest of time, I'm going to explain here. Nope, that's it.
Sorry, your time is up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we have Bill O'Sullivan.
Bill O'Sullivan, Woodlands, Texas. I want to speak on MCAD. If you've been asleep for a while, it's been general dissatisfaction with the performance of MCAD, such to the extent that it's been elevated to the state level. Not ours, but everyone. And because of that, I don't think anybody who's currently serving should remain on the board. And you've had plenty of talented people offered. The other part of it is that I don't think a commissioner should serve. And my kudos to Commissioner Riley, who elected not to, because he found out how difficult it was to be unconflicted. So if you keep, I don't think that Commissioner Metter should stay on. Whoever else you want to appoint, that's up to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next person signed up is Missy Ringo.
Thank you for having me here today. I'm loud, so you'll all be able to hear me. My name is Missy Ringo. I'm here to protest the nomination of Eric Yolick to the Board of Directors for the Montgomery County Appraisal District or any position that involves decisions regarding this county. Eric Yollick constantly attacks this county and our elected officials, and we all know it's because he has an agenda. If he's attacking you, it's because he's intimidated by you or his candidates are intimidated by you. He doesn't succeed in getting a reaction out of you, then he starts in on your secretaries or your employees or your families, which is unacceptable. And it's creepy and it's threatening. And then now he's on the custodial department because he wants to get a rise out of Judge Mack, who is one of the best leaders of this county. We all know that. So, and the very people that he writes about are the very people that have contributed the most to this county. And then in the midst of a hurricane, we can all understand and know what all of you did during the hurricane to help this county. And where was Eric Yollick? He was behind his computer writing about how all of you did it wrong. Nothing else but writing about how they did it wrong. You don't have one good thing. He doesn't have one good thing to say about this county. I have a problem with that. All of you that are elected are because you love this county. If you can't say one good thing about this county, and I speak for this whole area right here, if you don't have one good thing to say about this county, we've got the schools. We've got the job opportunities. We've got many things in this county that are incredible. So, and I can assure you the Golden Hammer is not one of them. The Golden Hammer is obviously nothing than an incredible source of a propaganda. You started that in the name of the press so you can slander all of them. And it's like a teenage schoolgirl bully when you read it. He portrays this county like we're a bunch of idiots with corrupt leaders and we're all running around voting for the good old boy blindly because we're all just stupid. No. We researched our candidates, their causes, their achievements, their contributions to this county, and we voted, and here you are. Here you are. We're the fastest growing county in the nation, and we certainly didn't get to this point by running a corrupt government where all of you leaders are in it for yourselves. People don't decide to just pick up and move here without studying, without looking into the taxes or the properties or the schools. So that in itself speaks for itself about this county. And to all of the haters of Montgomery County who speak the loudest, it's very simple. Move. Move out of the county. Find a county where you don't have taxes or red light cameras or tolls or laws on stalking or attorneys who can practice with zero ethics. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ringo. All right, that was all that we had signed up to speak on that item today. We're now ready to take action on voting for our candidates. Now, Commissioners, there's a couple ways we can do that. BD, you might have to help us with this. Do we actually get two appointees, or can we vote for any of the members that have been nominated by a percentage of our votes?
Yeah, you have to stick with who has been nominated, and I think at the last court, each one of you nominated one person.
Okay, the members that we nominated, correct? Yeah. Not the full list of members that were nominated by other entities or other organizations.
I believe you can vote for anyone on the ballot.
Anybody on
you
the ballot.
You can allocate your votes for up to five people on the ballot. Of course,
right.
The more you spread out the votes, the more you will dilute them.
The effect.
And I don't need to vote, BD. Is that correct?
Not for yourself.
I don't know.
I don't think you're necessarily prohibited from voting, but you certainly can't abstain, yes.
I'll do that.
Commissioners?
One thing I'd like to say, I appreciate all the comments and feedback from the public on who should or should not be nominated. And I do want to say that I don't personally believe that it's a good I don't think that the court should appoint a sitting court member to the court, nor do I think a candidate should be appointed to MCAD. So I just wanted to put that out there for what it's worth. And as I understood it the way in the past, like Commissioner Metter, your appointment really came from not this board. It came from Willis School District, correct?
Well, the appointment comes from the board, but the election is a process that goes through the taxing entities.
And so even if the court didn't vote for Commissioner Metter, for example, he could still be appointed by another entity. I just wanted to point that out. And that's just my personal opinion.
I've enjoyed the time that I've spent on the board. A lot of talented people out there, and I've been, it's been an honor to be part of it. If the court would rather I step down, that's certainly the court's decision.
Commissioner, can you talk a little bit about what that board does?
Well, it's an administrative board. It's not, we don't get into the day-to-day activities that MCAD does. It's an administrative board similar to what we do here. It records information, but we have no input on how they do their day-to-day activities. We do their budget, similar to what we do here, and put that together and put it out for approval, and that has to be done by all the taxing entities.
But that board doesn't review appraisals, correct?
Oh, no. Well, we review our appraisals that are up for litigation. Those are the only ones. And the reason the board has to okay lawsuits or how we're going to pay for it or do we have the money, similar to here. Mm-hmm. So it's very similar to what we do.
So you review more or less whether to go to a lawsuit, not necessarily the actual appraisal itself.
Yeah, it's just a lawsuit action.
We don't influence any kind of appraisal whatsoever.
No. Correct. The board of directors of MCAD is not involved in the pro-tax protest at the administrative level. That's the Appraisal Review Board, which is a completely different board.
Right.
It is only when someone appeals that protest to the district court, then the board of directors would decide whether to defend that case or not.
Right. And a lot of times it comes down to money. I mean, it depends on what it costs, and it's a financial decision usually.
I think there's some confusion that, you know, people think that board does review appraisals. I want to make it clear that they do not.
No, they don't.
They take a lot of unfair criticism. Okay, so now we've got 1,037 votes.
Right.
That we could allocate however we choose to vote on for any of these candidates that are on this list.
On the ballot. I just wanted to make sure that we were voting for people on the ballot, not people that are named now. They have to actually have already been on this ballot.
Can you highlight again, the nominees by the court, so we can maybe focus on those first.
I'd like to know where these other ones came from. I'd like to know where these other people were nominated from.
They came from other taxing.
But
other
who is who? I know who's who.
Okay.
Where was Carl White nominated from?
I don't know.
Well, I don't either.
Or Barry Blanton or Charles Officer.
Which are our nominees first, Judge, if we can start with that?
Ours were Bob Casey, Guy Hancock, I believe, Commissioner, wasn't that yours?
Yes.
Peggy Houseman, Mike Metter,
Yalick.
And Eric Yalick.
I think those are the ones we should start with first, perhaps. Start there.
Well, would entertain a motion on dividing those votes?
I'd say 500 votes for Guy Hancock and 537 for Peggy Houseman.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Is there another nomination?
Try again.
I'd split the votes between Mike Metter and Guy Hancock.
We weren't going to do that for me.
We weren't going to do what?
Cast votes for me from the court. I mean, that's the way I understood it. But
do you prefer to remove your name as a nominee?
Huh?
Do you prefer to remove your name as a nominee?
No, I don't want to remove my name, but, I mean, the court can do whatever they want to. I'm just one vote, and obviously I'm not going to vote. So whatever the court decides to do is fine with me. I mean, however y'all want to do it, I can't vote.
I'll withdraw my motion then.
Any other thoughts?
How about 537 votes for Guy Hancock and 500 for Peggy Houseman?
Second.
All in favor?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
How about we split them between Barry Blanton and Bob Casey? That's my motion.
Second. Well, Bob, I'd like to stick with the ones the court recommended if we could.
Bob Casey was my recommendation.
It really doesn't matter. I mean, we can do that, but Barry Blanton is very, very qualified. Well known throughout the county. His dad was our county engineer for years, started it. So I think everybody knows Barry, and I think he'd be a great board member. But
I'd like to nominate.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Your motion was who? Bob Casey?
It was Bob Casey and Barry Blanton. Split the votes.
And I second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed.
Motion carries 3-2. So it's Bob Casey and Barry Blanton. Splitting the votes. 50-50. It'll be an odd number. I guess give the odd numbered vote to Bob Casey since he was the court's nominee. I would make that motion with Bob Casey getting the
extra vote.
Extra vote.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries.
All right.
Item 12. County Court at Law number 3.
Morning, Judge.
Hey, Judge, how are you?
Morning, Judge.
I told Nate this morning my mother accused me when I was a teenager of expanding into the space allotted to me when I didn't pick up my things. So I'm here to ask you this morning for approval to expand the County Court at Law number 3 space to encompass the old 435th. Judge McGinnis has vacated that courtroom and chambers, and we would like that space for Associate Judge Amy Atkinson. I took the issue to the OCA committee. It was approved by the OCA committee. I then took the issue to the Board of Judges, and it was approved by the Board of Judges. We feel it's important in order, primarily for safety reasons. The courtroom is very small. We had a gentleman have a grand mal seizure in there, and my bailiff didn't even have room to lay the gentleman down. It's not uncommon that we have to exclude litigants from the courtroom because there's not enough room for both the litigants and their lawyers. I would ask your approval for that. I think security supports this request. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Along with that request would be a request to recarpet, repaint, seal up a pass-through window, and break one office, large office, into two smaller offices. And that's our request. Commissioner Noack?
Has a cost been determined?
I know that Mr. Case was over there yesterday. I did a walkthrough with Rob about 2 weeks ago, and I know Paul was over there yesterday. That's all I can tell you, Commissioner.
Commissioners, the reason I ask the judge to put this on the agenda is that we're moving an associate judge into a full courtroom that's now set aside for an overflow. The carpet replacement and the paint, I think, is absolutely necessary regardless of what happens. The concern I had was that judges moving from one court to another without this court knowing where that space was being allocated. We've got other departments that want to use space here and there. People just go and pick space that they want to use without any kind of direction from this court. Then we really don't know where our space is being used. So that's why I asked the judge to bring this to the court today.
And I think that's good procedure.
I think we need to do that.
Was there any concern by any of the judges regarding moving an associate judge into the former 435th court?
So Nate could probably speak to that better. I think we had a full board in attendance that meeting. I think we had one abstention. The rest all voted in favor of it. Of course, I have told every single judge, if they have a jury trial and they need that courtroom for some reason, they're running two jury trials, we're more than willing to move around and accommodate other courts. Especially Judge Gilbert's court, he has an associate judge. Judge Overstreet, we're trying a lot more CPS jury cases these days. We will certainly move around, the four of us, to accommodate jury trials and any other need.
That's appreciated. One thing I'd like, if we move forward with this, I'd like for, Paul, and you're back there, I'd like for any paint that's picked to be a standard county paint color, same with carpet, a basic county standard carpet, and then if you could go without changing the walls around. One of the things that we do way too much of is every time we have a new elected official, they want to make a tremendous amount of changes to whatever building they're moving into. And I get it. I know I made changes when I moved in. But with these courtrooms, we're continually, every time a new judge comes in, they want it to be totally different when we just spent a lot of money putting it back together another way. I've talked with Paul Case about bringing forward to the court some standards that we could follow on when a new elected official comes in. You know, you get these paint samples, you get this color carpet, what have you, and that's really, we need to stick to some basics because building maintenance gets run pretty wild.
And I said that from the get-go. We're happy with any stock paint. We're happy with any stock carpet. Judge Doyle walked through the space with me. I think he can attest for the fact that it's in bad need of both.
Whether it's an overflow court or an associate judge's court, it needs some attention.
And I appreciate you bringing it to here and showing willingness, because I have heard that there's a little concern about an associate judge having this courtroom, and now what's going to happen? These other associate judges are in small rooms, and it's not going to be fair to them. And you asked first, so.
That does leave one
I'm
courtroom.
I'm the oldest.
I said you asked first.
She already says she's not real good with space. That doesn't seem to work very well with me.
That does leave one courtroom, though, that's just purely an overflow courtroom, correct?
That's correct.
The old 221st?
The old
410th.
410th, right in the middle of the building over there. That courtroom's in pretty rough shape, too. But I would ask, Judge, that in the event, and one of the scenarios that was passed by me was that if you had a trial going on, you had called and a visiting judge in, and your associate judge was using her court, that would leave no courtrooms available. In the event that another court needs that courtroom, just that it be available for the full courts at any time they need it.
Without doubt. Okay. You know, and we do have other areas. You know, we have what we call the fishbowl and the
that's
space.
That's the old 221st next.
What we call an ancillary. And, you know, if Judge Atkinson has a light docket and another judge has a heavy docket, and we already work, you know, with each other to switch courtrooms and free up our courtroom if we're not using it.
The other thing that was brought to my attention was, you know, we could be at a point where the next legislative session, we need to have another district court, and we may need to take away what we've given in order to make that happen. So be mindful of the fact that things may have to shift if we end up with another court a couple of years from now.
Do you see that as a possibility?
I don't. I mean, and I've not heard any talk among judges about a need for another court.
Okay, good.
But certainly we are always at your, you know, direction as to where we should go. We understand that.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I move.
Second.
We've got a motion. We have a motion and a second. So all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you, Judge.
Motion carries. Thank you,
Judge.
Thank you very much. Okay. County Court Law 4.
Judge Turner has asked me to present on her behalf here today. She's in a jury trial, and so I told her I would take over the reins here. Earlier this year, we came to you about a contract defender system for felony cases. We've been watching the system to see if it's doing what it's supposed to do, and wanted to come to you. Judge Turner handles mental health commitment cases. These are under the Health and Safety Code where people are a possible danger to themselves or others due to their mental health state. And by law, these people are appointed ad litem attorneys in their best interest. So what she wants to do is wants to change our current system, which is a wheel of about 15 qualified attorneys, to three attorneys that are on call. These are usually the turnaround on these cases is usually very quick. They get filed and they're heard within 48 hours. They're very, very fast.
Is there a mandate for that?
So the attorneys have to be appointed quickly. They have to visit with their clients in a very quick way. These are some of the things that a contract ad litem program would do for the county. It would provide consistency. We'd have the same three attorneys handling these cases who are obviously well qualified, chosen specifically for their qualifications. And with a contract system where we're not paying on a per-case basis, but we're paying them a set amount for a time period, it offers us better financial forecasting. As you'll see in a couple of slides, this isn't a huge amount of money, but it's something that's increasing. These are the number of mental health commitment applications that have been filed since fiscal year 14. And as you can see, they've increased specifically since FY15. And we'll see how the money is associated with the number of applications going up here in a little while. More hearings are being held. There has to be a probable cause hearing held by the judge before anything else is done to make sure that there is actually an issue here. Sometimes family members might bring them in for reasons that are not necessary. We pay right now this past year between in more than 75% of the cases between $200 and $300 per appointment, and so that's kind of where we're aiming for as far as an amount total.
You had 288 cases at $300 a case.
It's between $200 and $300. Sometimes if they don't go to a final hearing, they only get paid that $200, but if they're appointed for a longer period of time, they're getting paid more. As you can see, the costs have gone up pretty substantially over the past 3 years, and if we superimpose the number of applications that have been filed, it follows it almost exactly. We're actually paying a little bit less than the number of commitments per commitment. What this is designed really for is a cost containment measure. We don't want this to go too far.
Nate, who picks the three attorneys?
This would be
how are they selected?
This would be Judge Turner, similar to how the I don't know what's going on with the computer. Similar to how the four felony court judges picked, they requested applications from attorneys. And then on the felony side, they picked 10 attorneys per court. So this would be a picking three out of however many applications.
And this is something that started in 2015? Or
no.
Go back to 2015 on your slide?
No, this is just the data that I have available to me easily to present to you. So
what's
being
the purpose of it, Nate?
Well, the purpose of
what's it supposed to accomplish?
Okay, so this is supposed to contain costs because the number of applications is growing. But we want to kind of keep the costs there. There's a concern about qualifications. We have 15 people because we need a large number of people right now who can be on call. Well, not can be on call, but we need a larger group right now of people because right now everyone said, yes, I can be available, but Judge Turner has had a hard time getting people who are available within 48 hours to go see these clients. So she wants three people who are well qualified and have certified, I can do this within 48 hours. My practice is such that I can do it.
The rate's the same?
Once these three are picked, for how long?
I'm sorry?
Once these three are picked, for how long?
It would be for a year term. Okay. We're talking about paying each attorney $20,000 each, which caps it at $60,000, which is about $600 or $700 less than what we spent this last fiscal year.
Instead of paying them per case, you just give them a $20,000 a year, basically a contract.
Correct.
Like we do with, what's the other group?
With the felony cases,
yeah.
Correct. So this would be people who are on call to do it. And these, if you look at when these are filed, these are pretty consistent as far as, it's not like there's a drop seasonally for these applications to be filed. They come in.
Why wouldn't we have discussed this during the budget hearings? I mean, during the time of, you know, making changes. We're one month in. I just feel like no one really respects the budget process, and they don't respect the fact that there's a time and a place to make these types of changes.
Really, Commissioner, this doesn't change the budget.
Well, you're wanting to change how you allocate it, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so that's a budget.
It's basically changing how attorneys are appointed.
I view it as a change.
Okay.
Yeah, you're still instead of appointing just arbitrarily, you would pick one of the three out of this contract, and it's the same dollars, or is there an increase in dollars?
No, there's no increase
the
at all.
Is the, same.
The idea is this year with the trend in the growth of applications growing, we could potentially spend more like $75,000
if we don't do this.
But with this, it keeps it at 60.
At 60.
Correct.
Which
sounds reasonable to me.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Any safeguards in place if one of these attorneys doesn't perform, or like we call and they never respond?
We can always make that in the contract that there's a quality control within the contract for the judge to.
Amy, is this something the court even needs to approve? I mean, if she has 15 people on her wheel now, if she went down to 3, we wouldn't know.
Yeah. It would be something court would need to approve the cause if we can anticipate the contract between the county and the particular attorney as opposed to just a wheel. As well as.
I mean, what's the difference?
CD, why don't you step to the microphone?
If you have a wheel, in essence, you have to be careful about how you pick from that wheel. You should just go down the wheel as opposed to concentrating with 2 or 3 attorneys there. So this is based upon the same as the felony district courts, which is
Important.
In their first
That's
year
working very well,
program.
Is it not?
And it's working well. I think one of the things that Judge Turner wanted to do was to emulate what we've done with juvenile, where we've had Bill Patillo and Chris Allen for the past few years that handle all the juvenile cases.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a system that's worked very well on that side as well. So I think she's looking at it in terms of she saw what the felony contract defender program did, and she's interested in exercising the same type of quality of representation and financial consistency is what she's looking for.
I move.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Opposed.
Thank you, Nate.
Okay. Thank you, Nate. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay, Constable Precinct 3. Good morning.
Morning, Judge. Morning. Commissioners. Honored to be here this morning. Gentlemen, we asked the court 14A to consider and allow Constable Precinct 3 to slot a deputy hired for position number 5531-5910-6 as a 12-year deputy on the current step plan due to experience. Requested increase would be funded from attrition and will not increase fiscal year 2018 budget.
Constable, when your budget was set a month ago did you not foresee that you might be replacing someone with somebody that you didn't have funds for?
Commissioner, we ended up making a promotion due to a position we received through a contract position, and that promotion was an ICAC. That promotion was our traffic deputy who handles our accidents and assigned to traffic duties specifically. This particular deputy has an extensive background in investigating major accidents, fatality accidents, specific to traffic. Most of his tenure has been here in Montgomery County. He left Montgomery County to pursue corporate security for quite a few years, and he's come back. And it, if you see it fit for us to approve that, it'd be a good addition to Montgomery County.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Move.
Second.
Amy, this kind of falls back to the question that the sheriff brought up last court. And I fully agree. I think we should pay a deputy. If he's got experience, we pay him for that experience. I'm not questioning that. It's just the process we do that. The sheriff had a different plan.
Right.
How would that be different? And I guess I'm still confused on...
So the constable is asking you to recognize the experience of this person and slot them in our plan in a certain level. What the sheriff was asking was for you to slot him where he would be in the plan and then pay a stipend to account for
the difference.
The difference in the experience. And so what the court said to the sheriff was, we're not interested in the stipend. We would rather you come and slot them based on experience, but not really the way our plan reads. It's an exception to our plan, which this court has the power to deviate from.
It was my impression, though, that you and Dodie, you also felt like maybe the stipend was a better way to do that. What's the difference?
Mine wasn't a better. Mine is you have the ability to do either. It gives you the flexibility because it's your plan. So you can slot them where you want them and then pay them for the experience, or you can create an exception to the plan and do this. So either way is fine from a legal perspective.
Okay.
HR might have a different perspective on.
Would you step up to the mic?
I was more concerned with the discretion on who gets to be paid that stipend. It needs to be fair and consistent when administered that way. But when you leave it up to an individual to make that decision based on what they want as a discretion, then we could have some problems with...
I mean, the sheriff even talked about bringing those stipends to court, just like this case.
Right, but it's still that one person making the decision on...
The stipend read is basically it can be given and it can be taken away at the sole discretion of the sheriff.
I think that one of the concerns that we have is with the exceptions to the plan, it's just the way our plan is written without a modification of the entire plan, the more exceptions we create, the difficulty. So that was the sheriff's concern, and I understand it. I also understand that in some ways, we are restraining our managers and our law enforcement agencies from bringing in experienced personnel.
Well, yeah, we don't want to penalize them, keep them from bringing in an experienced officer.
Right.
I mean, that was.
Either way is fine. The court has the discretion to do both.
And I think this way, it's a case by case basis. They bring it forward, we get to make a decision. And two, I wasn't here, Commissioner Metter. I think you were years ago when civil service was brought into Montgomery County. One of the things we also want to do is, if we have an officer that is worth being paid a certain amount of money, we need to pay that as a salary and give that to, don't pay it as a, well, we're going to pay you 35, but an additional 10,000 as a stipend because you have this experience. Either you have the experience and you're worth it or you're not. And you don't, if we let them pay it as a stipend, well, they could pull that away, and it's not a grievable event for the employee. I just don't think that's a good practice.
I understand what you're saying, and if that was the case in all of those, but I also think there was a function aspect of it that maybe wasn't completely. So if we had an officer who was getting a stipend for a certain function and then was no longer performing those duties, the ability to remove that because they're no longer performing that was a concern of the sheriff.
And we have
but
that
I understand.
For the SWAT, for motorcycle, I mean, for certain specifics, but just to have a blanket category of specialized skill set or whatever it was, I think the way Constable Gable is, I mean, you've done this. Do you feel like you have been hindered in any way in going out and recruiting the best talent that you need?
No, not at all. And if I don't at all, you guys have recognized the request, very well. Each time we brought, I think this is the third time to come and ask for somebody to be slotted into an experienced position. It back when I took office in 2012, it was something that you all, or the court at the time, approved that to maintain people or to attract people from different areas, because at the time we couldn't slot anybody in a higher pay grade unless they were a Montgomery County employee.
Mm-hmm.
So we couldn't pull from the outside.
Right.
And this individual is not from the outside, but just comes with good experience.
I'm not opposed to what you're trying to accomplish. I wholeheartedly support that.
Just trying to get us on one page.
Everybody's doing the same thing.
Yeah,
Agree.
A
no, not at all. Not at all. Here to help.
Because I think if we can get experienced officers, we're that much further
than
the game.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So we got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion
Thank
carried.
You, Counsel.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item B.
Item B. gentlemen, I ask that you consider and approve the funding of one new fully equipped detective vehicle not to exceed $45,000. Vehicle will be assigned to the employee replacing a recently vacated position, 55313-7802-1, which was the ICAC investigator I spoke about earlier that was promoted, which shall include a vehicle stipend. So that one's going out, and the cost associated with the vehicle purchase shall be reimbursed to the county by the Woodlands Township. From what I understand, that's how the Woodlands has done it in
the
past.
You said shall include a stipend. It did include a stipend, replacing a stipend. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That position had a vehicle stipend attached to it. The Woodlands is buying, obviously, a county car.
Second. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Constable.
Thank you, Constable. Have a good week. Good day.
Constable, Precinct 5 asked that item 15A and B be removed at this time. So, elections. Ms. Harvey.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm asking for you to consider and approve the order canvassing the returns and declaring the results of the November 7, 2017 constitutional amendment election.
Move.
Second. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye. Ms. Harvey, I have a question on the election. Is there, and I hate asking this so publicly, but is there anything that we can do to have our returns post more quickly? A lot of people feel like and we get compared to Harris County, that at 7:08, you know, Harris County can get their early election results out, and then it takes us an hour. Is it equipment? Is it personnel? Is there anything that we can...
For this election, the early voting results were out, I think, within about 10 minutes. 15 maybe. There's a little bit of a lag once we post them.
The last big election.
The last one was a mail ballot issue that I have addressed, yes.
Good.
Okay.
So we'll be able to, this upcoming March primary, we'll be able to get the results out, at least the early voting results out pretty quickly.
They will be quicker, yes. We do have to wait until 7 p.m. because mail ballot voters are now allowed to deliver their ballot in person at our office until 7 p.m. And so if any do arrive that late, they still have to go through the regular process of being qualified by the early voting ballot board before they can count them.
Is there anything your office needs to be more efficient when it comes to processing the votes and getting the information out there? Do you feel like you're
I believe we have all the tools that we need and all the resources that we need, yes.
Has that space been vacated by the Sheriff's Department that we expanded into? Has that helped?
That has helped. That space was used for this election. We converted one area for the purpose of training poll workers, mm-hmm. and the other area for a restricted room for the early voting ballot board when they're processing ballots. And they both of those areas were used for this election.
Good.
Well,
yes.
Good.
Thank you very much.
And a compliment. Your staff is always so professional and great to deal with, but I want to say that we had to replace a longtime election judge, Ms. Beavis, in South County.
That's right.
And terrible loss. Fantastic lady, but I got such positive feedback on the replacement and just how smooth the election went and how well
thank
it was
you.
Run. So thank you.
Thank you.
Good. Okay. Item B.
Item B. To consider and approve the order canvassing the returns and declaring the results of the November 7, 2017 Justice of the Peace Precinct 4 local option election to legalize the sale of all alcoholic beverages, including mixed beverages.
Move.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item 17A, we did have someone sign up to speak. Mr. Yollett.
Judge Duell, may I just speak at the end?
That's fine.
Thank
That's
you.
Fine. Okay. Item 17A, Mr. Shirley.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. 17A is consider and approve agreement with Xerox Corporation regarded purported balance due and payment for full and final satisfaction. Authorized Judge Duell to sign on behalf of Montgomery County. Funding source to be carryover of FY 2017 funds in the amount of $8,564.25. We had a managed print services contract with Xerox, started in November of 2013. We terminated as of the end of June 2016. That last 5 or 6 months, we had a number of departments who had opted out. Xerox was never able to bill us by department, so we reconciled the printers to the bill manually, and we paid them for what we thought we owed them. There's a $24,469.28 balance that they say we owe them. This is a settlement offer in the amount of $8,564.25. County Attorney's Office has reviewed the settlement agreement.
So is there still $24,000 in dispute, or would there be $24,000 less this $8,000?
It would be $8,000 total, period.
This would settle.
Final and settled agreement.
Settle it.
Okay. So that would leave nothing left in dispute.
Nothing left. We'd be done.
Okay.
Move.
And County Attorney's read it.
Second.
Agreements are done.
We have a motion and a second. Any other questions or comments, Commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you,
Marshall. Purchasing. Lambo.
Good morning, Gilbert.
Good morning. Our first item is to take all appropriate action on the purchase of a 2018 Freightliner M2106. Vehicle in the amount of $154,957, utilizing a buy board contract with Freightliner.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item B.
The next item, we're awarding three contracts, the first of which is for new police motorcycles. And that is to Gulf Coast BMW British USA. And the grand total there is $125,440.
Do you know if that is per bike or is that for a specific number?
That's a specific number of vehicles.
Do we know
yes,
how
sir.
Many bikes it is?
I knew you were going to ask that question. I'll get you that number. But it's a specific number of motorcycles.
Is it for the sheriff's office or is it a different constable? Who's getting them?
Primarily the sheriff.
Yes.
Is there another entity? I mean, you said primarily. Is it?
It's,
I think it,
it's
is
available
solely?
To other departments.
To
right. It'll be available to other departments as a term contract so they can buy off of this contract. But for right now, all we're buying is
sure.
for the sheriff's
so
office.
So you don't know how many?
I do not know how many.
I mean, because what I'm trying to get at is, we're going, I guess, to BMWs from Harley.
Yes.
And I want to know what the cost difference was.
Okay, I can get you that.
And why wouldn't it be per motorcycle if it's a
yeah.
contract? I mean, we're going to have to buy them three at a time or whatever the number is? Or
I'll get you the unit price. In fact, I have it written on my chart here to get you a unit price. I just didn't have an opportunity to get you a unit price, but I will get you a unit price.
Can we?
If you'd like
can
to
you bring that, can we just defer it until you bring it back?
You can, yes, sir. That's not
I
a problem.
Kelly.
Oh, when you go get it. Well,
yeah.
Kelly, let's keep
go
going.
It.
And
let's
we'll,
see, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
She may
I apologize
be back by
for that.
Time you get through.
The
let's
second
contract,
sir.
We'll bring that back when
okay.
she's back.
The second contract is for the Danville Phase 2 water tank, water line, and sanitary sewer project with SiteCon Services. The total with the base bid and alternates 1, 2, and 3. Is $768,053. CDBG?
CDBG money? Is this part of their contract with CDBG?
Yes.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
And the last contract to award is for new vehicles. We have several vendors to award. I have a large tabulation that was posted. I will read you the names of the vendors. It's Caldwell Country Chevrolet, Buckaloo Chevrolet, Caldwell Country Ford, Gullo Ford of Conroe, and Grapevine Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Grapevine Chrysler Jeep Dodge. And then we're rejecting bids for two vehicles, vehicle 8 and number 12. We're going to rebid those. There was a confusion in the bid spec. So we're asking to award all the vehicles except for vehicles 8 and 12, the total of 20 different vehicles minus those two.
Move.
And from any of these, any of those vendors? Any of these vendors that were selected for each vehicle.
Okay.
So it's kind of like our own buy board. You're not specifically ordering vehicles at this point, right?
Sir?
You're not specifically ordering vehicles. You've just got an open contract.
This is a contract that we bid out. It's not a buy board agreement. This is a Montgomery County agreement. So we'll be able to buy vehicles
off of this
contract.
Kind of like we would our own little buy board, right?
Yeah.
Are we taking consideration that one of the vendors may be a Montgomery County taxpayer?
I did look at that. Most of these are in Montgomery County. There is a 3% local preference statute that can be applied, but we didn't have to apply it in this case.
Good. Okay. Good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
The BMW per bike, and there's quantity 5.
All right.
And they wanted to go to BMW to offset repair costs.
Okay, thank you. All right. I have the info.
Great.
On the motorcycle. So we have five vehicles, five motorcycles. They're $25,088 each.
Oh.
Previously, what was being bought were Harleys, and they were $15,800. The justification that we're given is that the cost for maintaining the Harley-Davidsons is more expensive than the BMWs. Therefore, that's the request that we got, was to bid out the BMW bikes.
Are those fully equipped, or is that just the motorcycle and we've got to put all the...
The police, yes, it is a police package motorcycle.
They're
equipped.
But we'd probably still put radios.
$10,000 difference.
Right, there's a $10,000 difference. In-house.
In-house.
We'll have an in-house.
I'm just
that much difference.
I'm just trying to
cost?
Imagine $10,000 in difference for a Harley versus a BMW. I don't.
Okay. And that's why.
Did you hear what they just said, though, that we cannot repair them? They have to go to Harley Davidson. We can't have a trained Harley
rep. Right.
And BMW is willing to do that so we can repair
yep.
our own vehicles.
Do we have that person? Or are we going to have to hire somebody to come in?
They'll have to train an individual that. From what I understand, an individual that's currently employed to be a BMW tech.
So if you have five bikes, that's $50,000. But
I
don't
agree.
Know. I don't.
I agree
don't
with
see
your,
that being worth it, in my opinion.
I'd have
okay.
to see the
$50,000 worth of repairs.
I can, sir. I can. Let's defer this. Let me bring
yeah.
you some more information
I would
on the whole. It's more of a program change than just buying.
And bring back the repair costs.
Yeah, I would like to see a report of what we spent repairing these Harleys, because I know we bought them every year. Or
right.
Every other, I mean.
Correct. Okay.
Thanks.
So we'll defer that. We'll defer that one, and I'll bring it back at another time.
Okay. Item C.
All right. And this is an engineering contract for Blueberry Road with Binkley Barfield at $324,138 for Precinct 1.
This is the utility issues we're going to have when widening 1097.
Right.
I move.
Second.
The comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
And then if it's okay, I'll jump to item E. And then I'll have Becca come up for the two grants that are in D and N.
Right. Yeah, that's fine.
And
We want to authorize the purchase of a BOMAG asphalt paver utilizing a buy board contract from RB Everett. Total is $322,245. Again, it's for Precinct 1.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Motion. Parking lot that needs some help, Commissioner Metter.
No, that's
I got to get it first.
So we'll do the two grants.
I got a blown out for sale. You can buy it.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
On item D, we're asking that you consider and approve the fiscal year 18 grant application to Texas Indigent Defense Commission for Indigent Defense, no match required.
Move. What is this, Beckham?
This is their formula grant that Indigent Defense gets every year.
Oh,
it's a reimbursement
the deal
grant.
Second.
Yep.
What's the amount this time?
We don't know yet. It's a reimbursement. It's based on a formula.
Did
the formula change at all?
The formula didn't change, but for FY18, they are scaling back for the funding.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Motion and a second. Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Consider and approve the grant application to the NRA Foundation for the training equipment project in the amount of $5,685.95 for the Sheriff's Office, no match required. Please authorize Sergeant Wilkerson to submit on behalf of Montgomery County.
Move. Move.
Second.
Motion and second. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca. Okay, we now need to recess our Commissioner's Court and convene a public hearing in Precinct 4. Commissioner.
All right. BD, you going
to
do this? Or?
I'll be happy to do it.
All right.
Consider and discuss the partial revision of Lot 49, Block 2 of Peach Creek Plantation, Section 1, to be known as Peach Creek Plantation, Section 1, Partial Replat Number 1. This is public hearing on a replat. The purpose of the replat is to create 7 lots in one block out of a 14.5-acre single lot currently. We do have a letter of no objection from the Homeowner Association, though they do express some concern, growing concerns about the effects of re-subdividing lots, but their restrictions do not prohibit that.
Do we have anyone here to discuss that? Yes, sir. Please come to the microphone, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have trouble being heard.
No problem.
My name is Jason Jones. I live in Peach Creek Plantation. I'm actually a couple lots down from this lot we're talking about now. I don't have a specific objection with this lot being broke up per se. My issue is that, do y'all have a map of the proposed?
Not in front of me. I have it in my office.
So the last several lots, they're like little triangles. And then with the build lines in our neighborhood, so the POA, I was on the POA for that community for 5 years. We don't have grounds to object to it, but we're not in favor of it. This community is 10, 20-acre lots. You know, you got a handful of people that come in here and break these up into these little bitty one-acre lots, right? I mean, so 7 lots over one, that's 7 times the noise, 7 times the people, all this stuff, right? It's completely messing up the vibe of our neighborhood. And more of our residents are kind of stepping up and saying, hey, can we do something about this? And so hopefully you'll start seeing more of us here to kind of, you know, express that to you guys. So I'm against it. This many, you know, if it was 3 or 4 lots, no problem. 7, I think, is a bit much, especially with the way the water runs through there and the build lines. It really restricts where the homes can be built on these little lots. That's all I really have to say about it.
Thank you, sir.
Are they breaking them down to less than 1 acre?
It's 14 lots. I mean, 14 acres, and it's going to be 2 acres a lot.
I don't recall the exact plat itself, but it averages. Yeah, it averages about 2 acres
yeah.
per lot. But the original lot's 14.5 acres. The plat is not up for your approval at this point. There are still some requirements needed to be made. So this is just a public hearing on that.
Okay.
No action will be taken today because the plat's not quite ready for approval.
Okay.
All right.
Any other questions or comments?
Now, we'll now adjourn our public hearing and reconvene our Commissioners' Court. No action is necessary there.
Right.
We'll now recess our Commissioners' Court for executive session under Article 551076. Agenda. Now we've got a couple that are, if you want to talk about toll road authority, we've got that meeting coming up. Mr. Wirtz, I know you'd sign up to talk about one of the road projects.
Thank you, Judge. Commissioners, good morning. I'm John Wirtz, Precinct 2, Precinct 69, GOP Chair, Montgomery County Tea Party. Over the last couple of weeks, I've come before you with respect to the flooding on River Oaks Drive, long before the SJRA released Lake Conroe into the homes, causing millions of dollars in damages. Now, this flooding down the street goes back over 20 years. With me today is Armando Hernandez. Mr. Hernandez, a U.S. citizen and registered voter, as are many down that street, and as a matter of fact, Mr. Hernandez was one of my clerks in the election last week. He and most others pay taxes just like you and I, has also had to endure this flooding over those same 20 plus years. It all stems from a dip in a road at the beginning of the road where a drainage system that's clogged up at the low point just will not drain. If adults want to get to work or kids to school, oftentimes they have to become weather forecasters the day before just to see how long it'll rain if it does. As I noted before, 10 to 15 minutes and a normal car cannot get through. 20 to 30 minutes of hard rain and forget about it. A footprint of water that covers from one side of the street to the other and a tenth of a mile long prevents passage to that point that residents have to park their car on the other side of the pond and then oftentimes wade to it so they can get to work, school, doctor, etc. Recently, it came to my attention that someone down the street had secured a pump a while back and a hose, since the county pump truck didn't always show up when needed. And if the water was too high, he couldn't pass through it to get to the manhole on the other side of it to drain it. So this neighbor initially charged everyone $20 each on a monthly basis for 60-plus homes down the street. And he also charges everyone $5 every time it rained. It was either that, or he may not deploy the pump. Commissioners, Judge, it's 2017. After Mr. Hernandez and others paying 20 years of taxes, don't you think it's high time to give these folks like Armando a break? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead.
Calvin Russell, Precinct 2. I'd like to address the court about what happened at this podium about 25 minutes ago. I would hope that the honor of this court would be upheld when someone comes to speak at this podium and you would not allow personal attacks against other people, whether they're running for office or not. And if you allow that to continue on, if it's me, call me down. If it's my wife, call her down. But I think if you allow this to escalate, you're asking for trouble.
Been pretty liberal in allowing a lot of that to occur.
Really?
And yes, we have.
Okay. My opinion, that's a bad idea. Thank you.
Okay. You want to make a comment on an item not on the agenda?
It's items on the agenda, but if I can just do it all at once.
That's fine.
Thanks. Judge Doyle. Commissioners, my name is Eric Yalick. I'm from Precinct 3. Actually, for once, I want to very briefly disagree with my friend, Mr. Russell. People come here for very serious reasons, and if they want to criticize other individuals, I think that it's all right. And I wasn't personally offended by anything that happened, and I appreciate the way the court runs the meetings. I want to briefly talk to y'all about contracting. And it's item 17A, which was the Xerox settlement contract, and also item 3A with respect to the toll road. Judge Doyle, you and I haven't had a chance to talk about many things, but one thing that we actually have discussed during the last year is that there are a lot better ways for taxpayers to ensure that they're getting optimal contract pricing, especially with respect to engineering contracts. The secrecy that we see that's imposed on the contract process is truly harming both the Commissioner's Court and the citizens. With respect to item 17A, it was a settlement agreement and release between Xerox Corporation and the county. It refers to a lease agreement attached to Schedule A and Exhibit A, and yet Exhibit A and that schedule was missing from the proposed agreement. There was no way for the five members of this Commissioner's Court to review that document or even ask any questions privately to county employees before the meeting in order to prepare for the meeting. With respect to the toll road, item 3A on the toll road agenda is the same type of problem. You're asking the taxpayers to spend another $54,390 to pay Jones and Carter under an engineering change order. That change order is not attached to the agenda. No member of the Commissioner's Court had that change order, at least by the close of business yesterday. And there's no way that anyone could review that change order with respect to the pricing, whether the change order is necessary, or whether the change order is advisable at all. The Golden Hammer commemorates those instances where individuals hammer the taxpayers. In this instance, Craig Doyle, Jim Fredericks, and Sylvia Olzawi are hammering the taxpayers by not ensuring that contracts and pricing information are available both to the Commissioner's Court and the citizens prior to meetings so that y'all can deliberate fully. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Anybody else that would like to address court on items not on today's agenda? Yes, ma'am. Hang on, Bill. Hang on just a second.
I'm speaking to item T1, but this has happened several times. I've come up here and spoken about it, is rolling over the carryover. Now, your budget gets affected mid-August. You only have a few weeks to go. And they should be able to estimate what their carryover is they anticipate it. So that it goes into next year's budget, which they've already submitted, and they don't increase their budget, which has already been submitted. Otherwise, this just flows back into the county and at the disposal of the county, that you don't increase the budget by bringing money over from the previous year. And you should have a pretty good handle on this by August. The other thing is, I get up here and I complain as much, and probably more than anybody. I don't make it personal, and I always try to suggest a remedy to it. And getting up here and spewing, I don't agree with that. I understand free speech, but you have plenty of free speech. If somebody has a newspaper or a blog, use that. You want to write to the Courier? Do that. But come into the court and use your time and the time of the other people here that represent the county to reflect, but not to scream at people. Good heavens. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Didn't realize court gets so heated. This is my first time here, but nice meeting you all. My name is Suzanne Ohring, and I live here in Montgomery County, don't know which precinct, sorry, but I'm here speaking on behalf of the state of the Montgomery County Animal Shelter. We've had several meetings with some of you here on the board, as well as a bunch of us have had several meetings with the director at the shelter. And the state of the shelter is still not good. It's still not changing for the better. And one case in particular that I'll speak about briefly today is a dog named Kringle that I pulled last week. The story of this dog is that he spent 21 days in the animal shelter. There was no plea ever made by one person on the staff. The dog came in severely emaciated condition, a broken, shattered hip, and was moaning in pain and presented with discharge from his eyes and his nose. This dog was placed on the adoption room floor for any public member to come in, view him, take him home. The dog was not given pain meds until 6 days after his arrival, even though staff noted that he was in pain. Then the head vet actually said, let's go ahead and transfer this dog to Texas A&M University, where they have a program and assist us in spay and neutering our extra dogs that we have there, because we have so many. So knowing this dog was sick and was presenting with a temperature of 104.9, was losing weight, he still sent this dog for a neuter 2 hours away and risked the infection of Texas A&M and what their students are doing. When the dog came back again, he was placed on the adoption room floor in green room and kennel 13A. Still, no pain meds, no medicine. It took a public plea from a volunteer who tried to walk this dog on Saturday to get the view of this dog out to the public. No rescues, no one was contacted. This was a volunteer. As soon as we saw it, me and my rescue group, we immediately went up and got it the first chance we got. I asked them for all medical records to be given to me, as we discussed with the director. When I went in there Monday morning to get this dog, the records were denied to me. They said they had no right to give those to me, yet I was taking a sick dog worth thousands of dollars in treatment. One of the kennel techs said, hey, let me help you carry this dog because he had a broken hip. The rescue coordinator said, no, that dog can walk. She made him walk 150 feet on a shattered right hip. I asked if any one of you had your mother, your grandmother in a hospital and their hip was shattered, how would they feel to be made to walk?
So I'm sorry your time has concluded, but thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Appreciate your comments today. All right, anyone else would like to address court on an item that was not on today's agenda? Okay. Commissioners, any comments before we close court? Just on my own, yes, there have been several visceral attacks on members of this court that I've allowed probably to go too far, and I'm kind of tired of all of it. But when someone else wants to express their opinion, we're going to allow that too. So I'm going to try to ask everyone to be respectful, to treat this like you would any other courtroom, in any other courthouse in any other county, when you address members of the court and members of the public going forward. I'm going to request that, please. Okay. So, with that being said, I would entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned. Now I need to convene a meeting of the Montgomery County Toll Road Authority. Item 3A is the only item on the agenda. We do have a couple people that are signed up to speak. Mr. O'Sullivan and Ms. Russell, you've still got a couple minutes left on your time if you'd like to say anything. Ms. Russell?
I haven't even spoken to him. Oh, I did.
You did, this, you did earlier.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I've missed it, but I've been at a lot of court meetings, and I don't remember any visceral attacks on y'all. I remember things being pointed out that we don't like. And as much as Riley and I disagree on many things.
There you go, right there. There's the first one.
Excuse me, is it all your right, time or mine?
It's yours.
Thank you, sir. Anyway, I think what happened earlier was despicable. But anyway, I'd like to say, and I know I'm barking up the tree with no answers, I think it's wrong that three of you that can sit on this court and decide to build that toll road and refuse to let the taxpayers vote on it, even though my commissioner has said he agreed to letting the taxpayers vote on it if it's ever going to cost them anything. And as of today, we still have not been allowed to vote on it. And I think it's wrong for three of you out of the whole county to decide to build the tow road.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. O'Sullivan.
Last time I got to speak on 249, I talked about the lack of service roads. And my curiosity now goes to the donated right-of-way north of Magnolia. Does that right-of-way include the additional capacity to widen the lanes? Because you have a large part of that is two lanes. And does it provide for having service roads? Or do we have to buy the property from the same guy who donated the right-of-way in order to put in service roads, which you're going to have if you're going to develop the along the way? So that's my concern. I also had an interesting conversation, actually online, with an engineer. He thought the main reason for the county to do this was the ability to drop tolls once it was completed. The county would have that ability, which you wouldn't have with the state. My suggestion to you is, if you're going to do it, build it, drop the tolls, turn it over to the state, and let them maintain it. That way you're done with it. You don't have to worry about it anymore. You don't have to worry about it down the line. And you've gotten it through the sense which is most important to you, which is the construction period and the choice of vendors. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. BD?
I just have a resolution order for the Toll Road Authority for the change order number 3 in the amount of $54,390. This change order is attached to the resolution.
Is there a way in the future that we can have the backup for change orders like this included?
Normally it is. This item was actually put on by purchasing, not by our office initially. In fact, I think it was initially, we saw it on the draft agenda as a county, Montgomery County issue, and told them it needed to be changed to the Toll Road Authority. So we had, put this on the agenda. So I presume it's merely an oversight by purchasing.
My preference would be anytime any department can include their backup on the agenda, they should. I think we try.
Well, we try, and that's one of the reasons that we request that departments bring their backup, because some of these items for backup, maybe a contract that's 500 pages. And if we've got 3 of those, and we've got to print out 3 500-page contracts, that's why we ask each department to bring their paperwork to our office for that backup. So we'll work to try to get that out as quickly as possible. It doesn't always come in. You know, sometimes we don't get backup until today.
And sometimes we don't get from other entities the signed contract. So what we've tried to do in the past is put even a draft, which we think is going to be reviewed by the other entity, if we're trying to make a deadline
right.
to bring it on.
So we'll try to always try to get those. If you have questions, call, and we'll try to get them out.
Again, in this instance, it did look like it was merely an oversight by purchasing.
Okay. Any questions or comments, or do we have a motion on this item?
Move.
Second. Motion and second. Any questions or comments about the item itself? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Opposed.
Motion carries. All right. That concludes our business with the Toll Road Authority, and we are adjourned.